So the people of Judah had forgotten God. It didn't happen right away. It took some time. They weren't prepared for God to come. It actually happened over a long period of time, probably about 75 years. The people slowly began to forget God and to forget God's ways. To understand how something like this could possibly happen, I'm going to give you kind of a long history lesson with a lot of strange names. Not quite as many strange names as Sandy had to read there, but a lot of strange names of various kings to help us understand how could this have come to be, that the people were not prepared for the Lord. Well, it started with King Manasseh. King Manasseh was an evil king. Before him had been a good king, King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a good king because King Hezekiah worshiped the Lord. King Hezekiah followed in the ways that King David and King Solomon had established. There, King David and King Solomon had established worship of the Lord in the temple. They had brought the Ark of the Covenant, where God resides, into Jerusalem, into the capital city. And right there in the middle of the capital, they built a beautiful temple so that right there in the center of people's lives, God would remain. God would reside at the center. And people would come from all over to worship the Lord, our God, in the temple of the Lord. There were not other worship places, only the central place of worship, helping people know to keep God at the center of their lives. King Hezekiah, that was a good king long ago. King Hezekiah, he had torn down the altars that were in various high places. These various altars were altars that were to other gods. And King Hezekiah said, no way are we going to worship other gods, only the one true God. He tore down all the altars in the high places. All was well while King Hezekiah reigned, and then Manasseh became king. Manasseh came to power, and I imagine that it was kind of a slow drift away from God. Because if right away, as soon as he came to power, he said, let's worship other gods, everyone would have said, no way, we only worship the one true God. But instead, I imagine it being something more subtle. Maybe like Manasseh said, oh, you know what? It's kind of hard for everyone to get here to Jerusalem to worship the one true God. Wouldn't it be so much easier if people could just worship closer to their homes? You know, we have those altars that we used to have out there that were in the high places. Let's rebuild those altars because those are closer to home. Don't have to travel as far. You can get to worship more frequently. So Manasseh rebuilds the altars in the high places. And then people maybe talk to their neighbor who's nearby, and maybe their neighbor says, you know what? I went and I was just, my daughter was so sick, and then I made an offering to Baal, and guess what? She got better. Someone else who heard the story thinks, well, you know what? My mother's really sick. I wonder, I could maybe offer an offering to Baal as well. Okay, well, you know what? There's an altar near my house. I'll go offer an offering to Baal. Maybe another one says, you know what? I made an offering to Asherah, the fertility goddess, and I had abundant crops. Well, who doesn't want abundant crops? So someone else says, oh, well, I'll make an offering to Asherah if I get abundant crops. And slowly, the people move away from worshiping the one true God. They began to worship other gods, make offerings to Baal, Asherah. It gets to the point that Manasseh even makes an image, a statue of Asherah. And do you know where he puts it? Right in the middle of the temple of the Lord. Desecrates the entire temple because the temple now is not just a worship place for the one true God. Now in the temple, there become multiple shrines and worship places to all kinds of God. Baal and Asherah, all kinds. kinds of other gods there in the temple of the Lord. Now, this happens over a long time because Manasseh, he ruled 55 years. 55 years is a long time to rule. He ruled two generations, almost three generations, so that most of the people who remembered that good King Hezekiah were maybe just kids back then. Maybe the people who remembered King Hezekiah had died. All people began to know was rule under Manasseh. Rule with worshiping all kinds of other gods. And so the people forgot. Maybe they never knew the worship of the one true God. And so, after 55 years of reigning, finally Manasseh dies. His son Amon comes to power. It doesn't get any better with Amon. I guess the only positive thing is he only ruled 2 years before they killed him. Some other people came to overthrow him, and they killed him after 2 years of rule. So then, Amon's son, Josiah, comes to power. Josiah comes to power, he's 8 years old. 8 years old. Can you imagine if an eight-year-old ruled our country? I can't even imagine an eight-year-old being in charge at my house. More or less an eight-year-old being in charge of an entire country. But Josiah comes to power, and I imagine that it begins that probably he had some advisors and people who were helping him out as he began to rule. But eventually he truly comes to power in his own, and after 18 years of his reign, Josiah suddenly realizes about the temple, looks around the temple, and decides, this place is kind of falling apart here. We haven't taken care of this place for 75 years. Imagine what a building looks like if it hasn't been taken care of for 75 years. Not very good. So he says, you know, we probably should clean up that temple a little bit. And so he takes in all the money that the workers, I mean, that had come in for, you know, offerings to the temple treasury. Takes all that money to fix up the temple, hires workers to come, fix it all up. And while the workers are in there trying to start cleaning things up, they discover something. They discover a book. Now, it probably wasn't a book. It was probably more like a scroll. In a little bit on your screen, you'll actually see what a better scroll looks like. They discover this random scroll in a box, tucked away in a corner. And so they decide, well, this looks kind of interesting. So they take it to the priest. They're like, hey, look what we found when we were cleaning up. And the priest opens the scroll, and he reads it. It's interesting. He hasn't read anything like this before. The priest takes it to the king's secretary, who takes it to the king, to King Josiah. And suddenly, the secretary reads these words to King Josiah. Words from the scroll. And suddenly, Josiah tears his clothing. It's kind of a strange thing to do. But he tears his clothing as a sign of repentance. Because suddenly Josiah realizes how far they've come. How far away from God they've gotten. We don't know exactly what this scroll contains, but most scholars think that it probably contains words from the book of Deuteronomy. Maybe the entire book, maybe portions of the book of Deuteronomy. But just imagine, and it is most likely, that some of the parts were Deuteronomy 5, which we heard a few weeks earlier here in worship. It's the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an idol. You shall honor the Lord your God and honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Imagine as those words were read, what Josiah was thinking in his mind, or as it continues on, Deuteronomy chapter 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Or even more in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord your God, you shall fear him, you shall serve him, and by his name alone you shall swear. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who are all around you. Because the Lord your God is present with you and is a jealous God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You must diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees and his statutes that he has commanded you. Do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so it may go well with you, and so that you may go in and occupy the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give you. Imagine if you hadn't ever heard those words, and suddenly you hear the words ringing, "No other gods," and all you see around are altars to other gods. Even other gods there in the temple. How could these words of God gotten so lost? But they were. And so King Josiah, he calls together all the people of Judah, it says, and Josiah reads these words from the scroll, reads these words of the Lord, and then it says that Josiah and all the people again commit themselves to following in these statutes and commandments, commit themselves to loving the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their might. They renew the covenant that was made so long before with them, with God's people, to follow in God's ways again. Now the people are prepared for the Lord, because now the scripture has come back as the center of their lives. The scripture has brought them back to putting God at the center of their lives. And as we move into this Advent season, we move into preparing for Christ to come. For Christ to come at Christmas. But too often in this season of Advent, we find that we too have drifted away. Drifted away from following in the ways of the Lord. Drifted away from God's desires for us and for our world. Oftentimes it's super easy to do in this holiday season because there's so much going on. So many things we need to do to get ready for Christmas. The lists we have made, the food we need to buy, the things we need to buy for others. Everywhere we are surrounded by what Christmas is supposed to look like. We watch the ads on TV. We see the Hallmark movies all around. We see what Christmas is supposed to be, and we can become stressed and overwhelmed. And yet, when you watch all that stuff, none of that stuff is about God. None of that stuff is about Jesus coming at Christmas time. All of those things can be easily become distractions, distracting us away from following God, from following what the scriptures have to say, for helping us getting ready for Christ. We fall into bed often at night exhausted by so much that we have to do that we neglect to take time to do our devotions. We may find that we intended to get to it, but there was so much going on we just forgot. It happens to all of us. It's part of the season many times. And so in this Advent season, we begin to dig out. We dig out the holiday decorations, dig out all of those things, but we also dig out the Word. We dig out the Word of the Lord that has been buried. The Word of the Lord buried sometimes back behind all the boxes. The word that comes to us through Scripture. We dig out this word because this word is where we encounter God. This word is where God comes to us again and again, speaking to us about God's love for us, about God's forgiveness for us, and about God's desires for us to love God and love neighbor. And so as we begin this Advent season, we dig out the most important part of preparation. We dig out the scriptures so that we can keep God at the center of this Advent season. This is what we desire for each one of you and for ourselves. We desire this for you, and so today, as part of our Advent festival, we have created an Advent devotional that has a scripture chain. I know it can feel a bit childish, but it is a simple and easy way to help keep scripture at the center. A scripture a day, bringing us closer and closer to Christmas and preparing for Christ. It's a simple way that we encourage each one of you, because for all of us, God desires that we keep Scripture at the center of our lives. And so as we began this Advent season, we began by digging out. Digging out the boxes, digging out the decorations, but most importantly, digging out the Word, so that the Word made flesh is at the center of our lives. Amen.